about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going, and even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith. He was like a foreigner living in tents, and so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. She believed that God would keep his promise. And so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead, a nation with so many people that, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there's no way to count them. All these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back, but they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son Isaac, even though God had told him, "Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted." Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. It was by faith that Isaac promised blessings for the future to his sons, Jacob and Esau. It was by faith that Jacob, when he was old and dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and bowed in worship as he leaned on his staff. Verses 1 through 21, Hebrews chapter 11. Father, thank you, Lord, for the wisdom, the power, the grace found within Hebrews chapter 11 as you teach us and guide us and counsel us about living a life of faith. More and more, help us to grow in our understanding of how to both grow our faith and how to put it to work, Lord. And more, use us to be believers that do exploits in your kingdom for your glory. Anoint us afresh with the Spirit of grace today. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Mark Ose. Mark is going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Thank you, Lord God, for this chance to serve you. I thank you, Lord God, for the peace that we can enjoy through you, the blessed assurance that we have because you have made us, loved us, and told us that you love us, and we can know you. Help us, I pray, Lord God, to tell others about you, to share that peace, even in the midst of the craziness that goes on, seems like more each day these days. You still are an island of peace. Well, you're not the island. Each one of us is, as you bathe us in your love. Help us, Lord God, to walk in that way and to share that knowledge, that love, that blessed assurance with as many as possible. I thank you, Lord God, for this platform that we're working on, for your anointing on Pastor Joseph, and for this show that we're able to share, and pray that it will bless many. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mark. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. You know, we often share articles as tools that we're encouraging you to both to listen to, but also to email us to get copies of, as tools that you can use to help in your spiritual growth, tools you can use to share in the discipleship of your family, but also tools you can forward and share with others, family members, co-workers, fellow church members, saved and unsaved individuals as well. So email us if you'd like to get a copy of the ones we'll share. This article is entitled, Walking Out Your Calling. Romans chapter 11, verse 29, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Again, Romans 11, 29. And then Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Again, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Every year during the month of May, we have the opportunity to attend one or more graduations where everything from high school diplomas to postgraduate degrees are conferred. Commencement addresses can be very interesting, sometimes amusing, but too often very disappointing. Commencement speakers are usually gifted orators who use the occasion to display their knowledge, but also to praise the graduates for their accomplishments, hold up high expectations for them, and assure them of a bright future. But too often the speaker fails to include God or the will of God in the equation of the graduates' lives and futures as they talk about them. How tragic. If God is mentioned at all, it's often an obligatory afterthought. Graduates are challenged to pursue their dreams, fulfill their desires, and make their own way. They're usually told to clearly identify their calling and go after it with all their might. Again, how tragic. How tragic to leave God out. The reality is that God chooses your calling, not you. See Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. We're not to decide what we want to do in life and then ask God to bless it. We're to pray and seek God for his call on our lives. And like the Apostle Paul, we're wise to pray the same prayer. Lord, what do you want me to do? See Acts chapter 9, verse 6. It's been said, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. Before you get upset that God decides your calling rather than you, consider these important insights. God made you, he designed you, and molded and shaped you to excel and shine for his glory as you live out the specific calling that he gave you. God knows you better than you know yourself. You were made specifically to carry out the call he has given to you. And no one in the universe is designed to carry out the specific call on your life but you. So be mindful of this truth. You were created to succeed at what God called you to do and made you to do, your divinely ordained purpose. Your God-designed calling empowers you to live out your purpose in this world. The most exciting, fulfilling, and satisfying life you can possibly live is the life you live as you walk out God's calling on your life. The wisest and best life you can possibly live is the life of embracing and running after the call of God. But his calling on your life must be accepted and then lived out faithfully. God is not going to change his mind. See Romans 11, verse 29. You can accept his calling and live it out by the power of the Holy Spirit, becoming a great blessing to the world. Or you can run from your calling. However, doing so will only lead to a very frustrated, unfulfilled life, much like getting swallowed by a big fish. See Jonah chapters 1 through 4. It will result in the waste of a lot of money, energy, and time in our lives. And be aware of this. Wasted time is wasted life. Then maybe after years of frustration, if you live long enough, you can say, "Okay, God, I will now do what you told me to do years ago." My recommendation is to say yes to the Lord and his will right now, stepping into a more blessed life today. God and his will for your life is the best thing that can happen to you and all the rest of us as well. For more resources and information about Christ, who is the architect of your life, and how to come to know him, and to come to better know life's instruction manual that we call the Bible, Faith and How to Grow Spiritually, email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, the title of that article, Walking Out Your Calling. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get a copy to you. I want to share at least a portion of another article by the title. This article is entitled, The Tragedy of Prayerlessness. Again, The Tragedy of Prayerlessness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. And then 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, as for me, I will certainly not sin against the Lord by ending my prayers for you, and I will continue to teach you what is good and right. Again, 1 Samuel 12, 23. And then James chapter 4, verse 2. You do not have because you do not ask. Again, the title of this article, The Tragedy of Prayerlessness. Prayer is talking with and listening to God. Prayer is seeking God. Prayer is worshiping and praising God. Prayer is giving thanks to God. Prayer is all these activities and more. We need to broaden and expand our definition and understanding of prayer and what it truly is. It can be said that prayer is our intimate walk with God. No one prayed more than the Lord Jesus did. His whole life was a prayer. We're called to imitate Christ. So like Christ, we should strive to live so that our whole life is prayer and our intimate walk with God. Prayer is to be a major priority for the church. Individually and collectively, we're to live lives given to prayer. The church itself is called to be a house of prayer. How tragic it is when we fall short in our calling and obligation to be people given to prayer. When we don't pray as we should, we miss blessings that God very much wanted us to have. And the world misses blessings that God very much wanted the world to have. Did you or I miss one or more blessings today because we didn't pray for certain things? Actually, the answer is yes. Again, James 4, 2, you do not have because you do not ask. Then 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, so that I might not bring, so that it might not bring pain. And God granted what he asked. Again, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Jabez received some unique blessings from the Lord. He made four requests from the Lord, and God gave him all four requests. Why? Jabez was wise enough to ask for them. Well, end right there. Again, the title of that article, The Tragedy of Prayerlessness. We'll be right back.
In need of you, need of you. Your hands are here.
Music of Rebecca St. James with Kingdom Come. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Continuing picking up with the article that we were sharing earlier, the title of the article, The Tragedy of Prayerlessness, picking up in that article. Jabez received some unique blessings from the Lord. He made four requests from the Lord, and God gave him all four requests. Why? Jabez was wise enough to ask for them. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Again, Matthew 7, 7 to 8. Sometimes help or deliverance may not come because the people of God were not praying as they ought to have been praying. In Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, it tells us, "And I sought for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the breach before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." Again, Ezekiel 22, 30. In Ezekiel, we see that God was looking for intercessors who would pray for the land so that judgment might be avoided. But he didn't find a single prayer warrior who was praying for Israel. So judgment came upon the nation. Also, prayerlessness by the people of God can result in followers of Christ becoming spiritually dull. In other words, when the people of God neglect praying, we're not as spiritually alert and sharp as we should be. We're not as sensitive to the voice and the actions of the Holy Spirit as we should be. Finally, when the people of God don't pray as we should, we can miss what God is saying or doing in a given season or situation. Whereas, on the other hand, living a prayer-filled life can help followers of the Lord to be very sensitive and alert to God and the things of God. In Matthew chapter 2, we see that wise men came from the east looking for the King of the Jews. It's apparent that the wise men knew God, listened to him, and were very sensitive to God. The wise men saw the star and knew what it meant. Apparently, they were men of prayer, and the Spirit of God had let them know a number of important truths that many other persons of that time didn't know. Many others missed those meanings. They saw the star as probably anyone else during that time could. Yet because they were close to God and listening to him, they knew what the star meant. They knew that it was pointing to the King of the Jews. So again, it was an indication that they were people of prayer. Sadly, people who they talked to and interacted with in Jerusalem could see the star too, yet the scripture does not say that a single person followed them to go and find the Messiah. How tragic it is that it seems that so many in Israel were spiritually insensitive to what God was saying and doing in that season. Now, Simeon and Anna in Luke chapter 2, who were people of prayer, they didn't miss their Messiah. They both saw and recognized him and were excited to see him. Why? Again, a prayer-filled life helps you hear the Holy Spirit's voice much more clearly and sense him at work more so than if we didn't live a life filled with prayer. Israel had been looking for the Messiah for centuries, yet sadly many in Israel missed him when he came. Prayerlessness can cause each of us to miss out on so much in life. Please don't allow prayerlessness to define your Christian life. Again, the title of that article, The Tragedy of Prayerlessness. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We pick up now reading through the Word of God in the book of Job, Job chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. Then Job spoke again. Listen closely to what I am saying. That's one consolation you can give me. Bear with me and let me speak. After I have spoken, you may resume mocking me. My complaint is with God, not with people. I have good reason to be so impatient. Look at me and be stunned. Put your hand over your mouth in shock. When I think about what I'm saying, I shudder. My body trembles. Why do the wicked prosper, growing old and powerful? They live to see their children grow up and settle down, and they enjoy their grandchildren. Their homes are safe from every fear, and God does not punish them. Their bulls never fail to breed. Their cows bear calves and never miscarry. They let their children frisk about like lambs. Their little ones skip and dance. They sing with tambourines and harp. They celebrate to the sound of the flute. They spend their days in prosperity, then go down to the grave in peace. And yet they say to God, "Go away. We want no part of you and your ways." Who is the Almighty, and why should we obey him? What good will it do us to pray? They think their prosperity is of their own doing, but I will have nothing to do with that kind of thinking. Yet the light of the wicked never seems to be extinguished. Do they ever have trouble? Does God distribute sorrows to them in anger? Are they driven before the wind like straw? Are they carried away by the storm like chaff? Not at all. Well, you say, at least God will punish their children. But I say he should punish the ones who sin, so that they understand his judgment. Let them see their destruction with their own eyes. Let them drink deeply of the anger of the Almighty. For they will not care what happens to their family after they are dead. But who can teach a lesson to God, since he judges even the most powerful? One person dies in prosperity, completely comfortable and secure, the picture of good health, vigorous and fit. Another person dies in bitter poverty, never having tasted the good life. But both are buried in the same dust, both eaten by the same maggots. Look, I know what you're thinking. I know the schemes you plot against me. You will tell me of rich and wicked people whose houses have vanished because of their sins. But ask those who have been around, and they will tell you the truth. Evil people are spared in times of calamity and are allowed to escape disaster. No one criticizes them openly or pays them back for what they have done. When they are carried to the grave, an honor guard keeps watch at their tomb. A great funeral procession goes to the cemetery. Many pay their respects as the body is laid to rest, and the earth gives sweet repose. How can your empty cliches comfort me? All your explanations are lies. Job chapter 22. Then Eliphaz the Temanite replied, "Can a person do anything to help God? Can even a wise person be helpful to him? Is it any advantage to the Almighty if you are righteous? Would it be any gain to him if you were perfect? Is it because you're so pious that he accuses you and brings judgment against you? No, it's because of your wickedness. There's no limit to your sins. For example, you must have lent money to your friend and demanded clothing as security. Yes, you stripped him to the bone. You must have refused water for the thirsty and food for the hungry. You probably think the land belongs to the powerful and only the privileged have a right to it. You must have sent widows away empty-handed and crushed the hopes of orphans. That is why you are surrounded by traps and tremble from sudden fears. That is why you cannot see in the darkness, and waves of water cover you. God is so great, higher than the heavens, higher than the farthest stars. But you reply, that's why God can't see what I am doing. How can he judge through the thick darkness? For thick clouds swirl about him, and he cannot see us. He is way up there, walking on the vault of heaven. Will you continue on the old paths where evil people have walked? They were snatched away in the prime of life, the foundations of their lives washed away. For they said to God, "Leave us alone. What can the Almighty do to us?" Yet he was the one who filled their homes with good things. So I will have nothing to do with that kind of thinking. The righteous will be happy to see the wicked destroyed, and the innocent will laugh in contempt. They will say, "See how our enemies have been destroyed? The last of them have been consumed in the fire." Submit to God, and you will have peace. Then things will go well for you. Listen to his instructions and store them in your heart. If you return to the Almighty, you will be restored. So clean up your life. If you give up your lust for money and throw your precious gold into the river, the Almighty himself will be your treasure. He will be your precious silver. Then you will take delight in the Almighty and look up to God. You will pray to him and he will hear you, and you will fulfill your vows to him. You will succeed in whatever you choose to do, and light will shine on the road ahead of you. If people are in trouble and you say, "Help them," God will save them. Even sinners will be rescued. They will be rescued because your hands are pure. Job chapter 23. Then Job spoke again. "My complaint today is still a bitter one, and I try hard not to groan aloud. If only I knew where to find God, I would go to his court. I would lay out my case and present my arguments. Then I would listen to his reply and understand what he says to me. Would he use his great power to argue with me? No, he would give me a fair hearing. Honest people can reason with him, so I would be forever acquitted by my judge. I go east, but he is not there. I go west, but I cannot find him. I do not see him in the north, for he is hidden. I look to the south, but he is concealed. But he knows where I am going, and when he tests me, I will come out as pure as gold. For I have stayed on God's paths. I have followed his ways and not turned aside. I have not departed from his commands, but have treasured his words more than daily food. But once he has made his decisions, who can change his mind. Whatever he wants to do, he does. So he will do to me whatever he has planned. He controls my destiny. No wonder I am so terrified in his presence. When I think of it, terror grips me. God has made me sick at heart. The Almighty has terrified me. Darkness is all around me. Thick, impenetrable darkness is everywhere. End of Job chapter 23. Thank you, Lord, once again for your word. Thank you for the power and the grace and the anointing that rests upon your word. And thank you for the many ways in which our lives are blessed and enriched and filled with grace, joy, and peace as we read and meditate on your word daily. Lord, more and more move upon our hearts. Help us to be wise enough to set goals such as reading no less than 3 chapters in your word daily. And help us more and more as parents to make it the priority you would have us to make it, to have our children to read your word aloud to us daily, thus being blessed by your word as well. Thank you for the wonderful gift of your word. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
Sometimes the night was beautiful. Sometimes the sky was so far away. Sometimes it seemed to stoop so close. You could touch it, but your heart would break. Sometimes the morning came too soon. Sometimes the day could be so. You'd already done. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. And I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your way. By step, you lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. Sometimes I think of Abraham, how one star he saw had been lit for me. He was a stranger.
The music of Rich Mullins with Sometimes by Step. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We pick up now reading in the New Testament, the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. One day, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law arrived from Jerusalem to see Jesus. They noticed that some of his disciples failed to follow the Jewish ritual of hand washing before eating. The Jews, especially the Pharisees, do not eat until they have poured water over their cupped hands as required by their ancient traditions. Similarly, they don't eat anything from the market until they immerse their hands in water. This is but one of many traditions they have clung to, such as their ceremonial washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of religious law asked him, Why don't your disciples follow our age-old traditions? They eat without first performing the hand-washing ceremony. Jesus replied, "You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. For you ignore God's law and substitute your own traditions.' Then he said, You skillfully sidestep God's law in order to hold on to your own tradition. For instance, Moses gave you this law from God. Honor your father and mother, and anyone who speaks disrespectfully Moses gave you this law from God. Honor your father and mother, and anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death. But you say it is all right for people to say to their parents, "Sorry, I can't help you, for I have vowed to give to God what I would have given to you." In this way, you let them disregard their needy parents. And so you cancel the word of God in order to hand down your own tradition. And this is only one example among many others. Then Jesus called to the crowd to come and hear. "All of you listen," he said, "and try to understand. It's not what goes into your body that defiles you. You are defiled by what comes from your heart." Then Jesus went into a house to get away from the crowd, and his disciples asked him what he meant by the parable he had just used. "Don't you understand either?" he asked. "Can't you see that the food you put into your body cannot defile you? Food doesn't go into your heart, but only passes through the stomach and then goes into the sewer." By saying this, he declared that every kind of food is acceptable in God's eyes. And then he added, "It is what comes from inside that defiles you. For from within, out of a person's heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these vile things come from within. All these vile things come from within. They are what defile you." Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre. He didn't want anyone to know which house he was staying in, but he couldn't keep it a secret. Right away, a woman who had heard about him came and fell at his feet. Her little girl was possessed by an evil spirit, and she begged him to cast out the demon from her daughter. Since she was a Gentile, born in Syrian Phoenicia, Jesus told her, "First, I should feed the children, my own family, the Jews. It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs." She replied, "That's true, Lord, but even the dogs under the table are allowed to eat the scraps from the children's plates." "Good answer," he said. "Now go home, for the demon has left your daughter." And when she arrived home, she found her little girl lying quietly in bed, and the demon was gone. Jesus left Tyre and went up to Sidon before going back to the Sea of Galilee and to the region of the 10 towns. A deaf man with a speech impediment was brought to him, and the people begged Jesus to lay his hands on the man to heal him. Jesus led him away from the crowd so they could be alone. He put his fingers into the man's ears. Then, spitting on his own fingers, he touched the man's tongue. Looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." Instantly, the man could hear perfectly, and his tongue was freed so he could speak plainly. Jesus told the crowd not to tell anyone, but the more he told them not to, the more they spread the news. They were completely amazed and said again and again, "Everything he does is wonderful. He even makes the deaf to hear and gives speech to those who cannot speak." Mark chapter 8. About this time, another large crowd had gathered, and the people ran out of food again. Jesus called his disciples and told them, "I feel sorry for these people. They have been here with me for 3 days, and they have nothing left to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will faint along the way, for some of them have come a long distance." His disciples replied, "How are we supposed to find enough food to feed them out here in the wilderness?" Jesus asked them, "How much bread do you have?" "7 loaves," they replied. So Jesus told all the people to sit down on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves, thanked God for them, and broke them into pieces. He gave them to his disciples, who distributed the bread to the crowd. A few small fish were found, too. So Jesus also blessed these and told the disciples to distribute them. They ate as much as they wanted. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 large baskets of leftover food. There were about 4,000 men in the crowd that day, and Jesus sent them home after they had eaten. Immediately after this, he got into a boat with his disciples and crossed over to the region of Dalmanutha. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had arrived, they came and started to argue with him. Testing him, they demanded that he show them a miraculous sign from heaven to prove his authority. When he heard this, he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, "Why do these people keep demanding a miraculous sign? I tell you the truth, I will not give this generation any such sign." So he got back into the boat and left them, and he crossed to the other side of the lake. But the disciples had forgotten to bring any food. They had only 1 loaf of bread with them in the boat. As they were crossing the lake, Jesus warned them, "Watch out! Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and of Herod." At this, they began to argue with each other because they hadn't brought any bread. Jesus knew what they were saying, so he said, Why are you arguing about having no bread? Don't you know or understand even yet? Are your hearts too hard to take it in? You have eyes, can't you see? You have ears, can't you hear? Don't you remember anything at all? When I fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread, how many baskets of leftovers did you pick up afterward? 12, they said. And when I fed the 4,000 with 7 loaves, how many large baskets of leftovers did you pick up? 7, they said. Don't you understand yet? He asked them. When they arrived at Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man to Jesus, and they begged him to touch the man and heal him. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. Then, spitting on the man's eyes, he laid his hands on him and asked, "Can you see anything now?" The man looked around. "Yes," he said, "I see people, but I can't see them very clearly. They look like trees walking around." Then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again, and his eyes were opened. His sight was completely restored, and he could see everything clearly. Jesus sent him away, saying, "Don't go back into the village on your way home." Verses 1 through 26, Mark chapter 8. Father, thank you again for your word, and thank you for the opportunity, the privilege, the blessing of being able to read and meditate on your word every single day. Anoint us all afresh with the spirit of grace that would encourage each of us to become more and more the diligent students of your word you'd have us to be, and empower us to be people that are living in obedience to that word faithfully as well. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, as we usually do before we end the broadcast, If you are listening today and you have never made the eternally important decision of inviting Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, today is a wonderful day, a great day to be saved and make that step. If you'd like to make that step, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with me even right now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for the wrong things that I've done. Lord Jesus, come anew into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to obey you daily. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and gave your life to Christ, we want to hear from you. My email, once again, is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us, and we'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please get in touch. Again, joseph@afr. We hope to hear from you. If you wanted to get copies of either one of the articles that we shared earlier today, again, the first article was entitled Walking Out Your Calling, and the second one, The Tragedy of Prayerlessness. Same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll look forward to being in touch. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.